another edition of the Scouting Report. It's Arch Madness week, maybe the best time of the year. Sports editor Jonathan Michael here, along with one of our contributors and the voice of the Macon Bacon, Sky Gillespie. Sky, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm great. I am glad to make my debut on the Scout Podcast, baby.
We're sure. We're glad to have you on here. And Sky, I know just a couple, I believe it was yesterday or 2 days ago, I saw the news on Twitter that you're gonna be the play-by-play announcer for the Macon Bacon. First of all, who are the Macon Bacon? And tell us a little bit how you kind of got that job.
Oh boy, yeah, I'm heading south for the summer. I am heading down to Macon, and I'm going to be the play-by-play intern for the Macon Bacon. So they are a collegiate wood bat league down in the middle of Georgia, and they play in the same conference as the very well-known Savannah Bananas. So
Bananas, everybody's got to love the Bananas, man.
So they just love to have fun and play baseball in a very entertaining way. So that's basically my job. I will be the entertainer and the play-by-play guy. So
the entertainer and the play-by-play guy. Oh man, what's the entertainer do? Are you gonna be like one of those, like, you know, traveling MCs? Like, you know, you're walking around like the stadium, like with the microphone and everything? Or
so I'm staying in the booth. The entertainment is going to come to me. So I'm gonna have coaches up for interviews. I'm gonna have players. I'm gonna just be wacky sometimes. we're gonna have a lot of fun down at Macon, and I'm very excited for it.
They're bringing entertainment to you. That's quite a contrast, because Sky, you're usually the guy to bring the entertainment to everybody else. I mean, like, we've had a lot of classes together here at Bradley. It seems like if there's any folks, if you guys don't know Sky can, he is the one guy that can make an entire classroom just laugh, like, super loud. I mean, this guy says the craziest, funniest stuff. We're glad to have him on this week. Glad to see what you can do down in Macon. But kind of getting into the thick of things here, Sky, just within the last 2 days, in terms of MVC basketball, the MVC all team awards are coming out, and obviously a lot of debate has ensued, you know, based off of what happened with these awards or whatever. You know, first team AJ Green won Larry Bird Player of the Year. Terry Roberts from Bradley won first team. Rink Mass on the Braves won third team as well. That surprised a lot of people. I don't know if a lot of people were happy with a Rink Mass third team selection, but Sky, I was curious to see what your thoughts were on the all MVC first, second, third team awards.
All right, let's start off with the first team. And I say the first team easily had four locks that were correct. So Gage Prim and Isaiah Mosley, they made it last year on the first team, so I thought it'd be a no-brainer they'd make it again this
Definitely.
Year.
Definitely.
And then obviously AJ Green, and then Lucas Williamson, I also predicted as a lock. But that fifth guy, I think that could have gone like any way possible. And
it could have.
Happened to fall in the lap of Terry Roberts, who I'm definitely happy about. But that's my thoughts on the first team. I personally thought Noah Carter from U and I really had a good chance of making the first team.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I'm happy Terry got it, but I think the first team was pretty good. I know you're very, very, very upset about
I was not happy with the third team at all. And, you know, going back to what you were saying about the first team, I agree. I think, you know, Prim, Mosley, Green were all locks. Williamson, I don't know. I'm a little bit lower on Williamson. I know he's a great defender. You know, he's a decent scorer as well. I just don't know, because, you know, all first team, like, you know, kind of thinking of, like, you know, most valuable players. Like, what do these players mean to the team? And if you take Lucas Williamson out of Loyola, they're still a decent team because they have so many other contributors as well. So, I mean, it's tough for Williamson to kind of, you know, show, like, you know, kind of, I guess, I mean, he definitely runs the show for Loyola, don't get me wrong about that, but there's also so many other contributors, like Braden Norris and Ahiru Guac and a couple other guys as well. It's hard for him to, like, you know, have those nights where he scores, like, you know, 25 and gets, like, you know, 7-8 boards, stuff like that, because there's so many other people, so many other mouths to feed on the Ramblers as well. So I thought Antonio Reeves should have been the first team. I know a lot of people, you know, said that, you know, he was right on the edge. I mean, he was, you know, averaged 20 points a game. Like, you know, he's getting NBA looks as well. So I think Reeves definitely deserved it. Although I know that a lot of people would debate that as well. And, you know, the fifth spot, I think, was up for grabs as well. I think Rink Mast, honestly, could have Bennett made a good case for first team as well. Definitely a second team, though. I don't know how Mass fell to the third team. And a couple other selections on the third team I didn't like as well. You may have seen it on Twitter. I tweeted about it a little bit yesterday, but I wasn't too keen on Braden Norris from Loyola. And it was Roman Penn on Drake. I don't know. I wasn't too sure about that. I think a couple other guys could have made it as well. Noah Carter, though, for UNI, you know, certainly great scorer for UNI. But when I was looking at him, he brings a lot of offense to the Panthers, but he doesn't bring a lot else. You know, he's not a humongously great rebounder. He gets some because he's a forward. Northern Iowa is a pretty small team. So he's kind of like the main big there as well. But he's a great player. I think you could have put Carter on the third team, bring Mass up to the second team. So that's at least what I had as well. Any other thoughts in regards to the all-conference teams, coach of the year, all-newcomer, all-bench team? Those were announced recently as well. All most improved. I think Rick Mast got on there as well. So
yeah, so you guys are stressing about Rick Mast as a third teamer. I think we really need to talk about the real issues in life, and that is Mikey Howell being left off the all-bench team. That is not okay whatsoever.
Mikey Howell, Sky Gillespie, if you don't know, ladies and gentlemen, is probably the biggest Mikey Howell fan in the entire world, other than his immediate family, most likely. And Sky, I wanted to ask, I know you've been a huge Mikey Howell guy. We wrote that story together last week about him, and, you did a great job on that, contributing as well. But I wanted to kind of get into it and, what's behind your love for Mikey Howell?
Well, first off, if you read our article, you learned that he's a San Diego guy. He holds the all-time assist record at UC San Diego. So I love pass-first point guards. It's always fascinated me. But what's really sparked my I guess you could say love for Mikey Howell is he's putting it on as of late and doing everything he can for the team. He's a much improved defender. He is stroking it from three.
Yeah. Yep.
He's honestly doing a lot more than everyone in Peoria expected from him. So I love that about him. But just watching a pass first point guard is just so magical, and you don't see it as much these days. Everyone wants to score the ball, and just seeing a guy like him, and especially coming from San Diego and that West Coast basketball play style, which is run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. I just love that play style from Mikey, and he's a beast.
Yeah, definitely, and he's definitely stepped up as of late, and getting it back to that play style thing you were talking about. That was one of the interesting things when I was interviewing him, about a week and a half or so ago. Was adapting from that run and gun, style that they played over in the Big West at UC San Diego, and that's kind of been slowing it down. He has been slowing it down, but he's playing on a team that slows it down a lot more than UC San Diego does as well. And he's also done a nice job of transitioning and just kind of being a leader for this Braves team. And he's a transfer as well. This is his only year here, but yet he is one of the newcomers. But back at the same time, he's also one of the veteran presences on this team, and Bradley's going to need that going into Arch Bennett's a lot, because a lot of experienced teams in the Valley, and usually the teams with a lot of experience tend to do good down in St. Louis.
Something about that. I really love leadership. I think it's one of the most important qualities you can have, especially as a basketball player. And with a team with so many new faces, I think that leadership will be very valuable. And obviously he's new to the team, but he's going to come into St. Louis, and he's going to spark these guys. There's probably going to be a lot of nervous players on Bradley, but I think Howell can calm them down. And that's something Wardle talked about a lot with Howell, was his calmness and his demeanor. And I think that's contagious, and I think that'll be very key when the Braves arrive in St. Louis, which they're arriving today. So
yeah, definitely. And a good point there about having the experience. And and Mikey Howell also coming off the bench as well. That is, a big part of this Braves team that, when they went on that, that stretch where they won 7 out of 8, a lot of their big wins, especially that win against Loyola down here at Carver Arena, was due in part to their bench. Their bench were 37 that game. I believe Zeke Montgomery had 12, and actually they had 35. No, 37, yeah, because Montgomery had 12, and I believe Mikey Howell had 12. Vila Tavernainen had 11, and I think Ari Boya got a bucket or two there. So, Sky, I'm writing a preview right now. I actually just finished it up. Going to be published on the Scout website, hopefully by Wednesday night, of previewing Bradley's game against Loyola. And one of my keys that I had, actually two of them I had, was the experience, you know, differential between Loyola, who has seven seniors, and Bradley, who only has one player who has played in more than one Arch Madness, and that's Vila Tavernainen. Obviously, Deshaun Henry has as well, but like, you know, all signs point towards him not being able to play this weekend. And then also as well, everybody needs to step up, because Arch Madness isn't a tournament where shallow teams can survive.
Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts on the Loyola game, but the biggest thing that stood out to me is when they traveled to Carver, Terry Roberts and Rick Mast combined for 17 points, and we still won the game.
Exactly.
Honestly, that's definitely not going to happen again. We can't win if they combine for 17. But,
well, we did the first time, man. So I mean, it could happen again. Is it likely? Maybe not as much, since we're playing on a neutral court, but...
Yeah, like you said, we do need everyone to step up, but obviously we need our two, we need Terry, we need him to play like the first teamer he is,
mm-hmm.
and Mast, the third teamer, which he's, I think he's higher than a third teamer, but we need him to play like he's an all-MVC player, so.
Well, and certainly, and like, you know, like the awards coming right before Arch Madness, that can certainly light a fire under the players, and, you know, Scott, I don't know if you were around 2 years ago, but Daryl Brown, you know, he was named All-MVC second team back in 2019-2020, right before Arch Madness. He was not happy about that. Very unhappy about his second team, and, you know, for good reason. You know, he was, I mean, it was a different-looking conference that year as well. A lot is loaded with talent that year. But DB put up some good numbers, and he tweeted out, "It'll all be settled this weekend," in response to, you know, him being snubbed on first team. And sure enough, he played out of his mind that weekend, and Bradley won the championship. So maybe we can see something like that from Rink Mast this week. You know, I know Rink, he's the guy that really pushes himself a lot, pushes the team a lot as well. So I think that's Rink Mast is not a guy you want to make angry, because he's going to come out and he's just going to, I mean, he's going to get you as hard as he can. He's going to play hard. You know, he puts all of his heart into it. I remember watching the press conference after they got bounced by SIU in Arch Madness last year, and he was pretty much almost in tears in the press conference. I mean, you can see how much it means to him, and Rink Mast really wants that MVC title.
Yeah, that's one thing I thought about, and that's honestly something I feared, that, you know, there is probably a fire that sparked in Rink Mast, but I do think he's mature enough and humble enough to understand that he doesn't really care about that third team. He cares about the Missouri Valley title.
Exactly.
And I'm hoping he comes out and plays like himself. He doesn't try to be anything he's not. I hope he comes out, plays his role, doesn't try to shoot too many threes, you know, try to get add the stats, try to prove that he needs a higher position. But that's something I fear. But I think Mast is the type of guy that doesn't care about that. And like I said, we're going to win the title.
Big words coming there from Sky Gillespie. You heard it here first, folks. Sky Gillespie saying that Bradley is going to take home that Arch Madness title. So with that, we'll take a quick break, come back with some Arch Madness analysis and more on the other side of the break. This presentation is powered by the Bradley Scout Sports. All Braves, all the time. Welcome back into the Scouting Report. We're having a ball here today with Sky Gillespie, contributor for the Scout, and me, I'm Jonathan Michael, the sports co-editor. And Sky, we're kind of getting into Bradley's game against Loyola on Friday. I know you had just said that, you know, Bradley's going to win the title, but first they need to take care of business. Loyola, a very tough 4 seed to play, and you can argue that Bradley and Loyola are going to have the toughest trips to the championship game, because, you know, they, you know, one of those teams is going to win. They'll most likely play you and I. Although last time you and I was a 1 seed, they lost to 8 seeded Drake 2 years ago. I remember that very well. And then, you know, the winner of, you know, of the semifinal game most likely get Missouri State or Drake. Obviously, anything could happen. But, you know, it's a tough road to Sunday. But first, got to talk about Friday. What are you looking at as far as the matchup between the Braves and the Ramblers?
You know, first off, I may have gotten a little ahead of myself saying Bradley will win the title. But, you know, hey, I'm a big
fan. It's a take. It's realistic, and Bradley has won Arch Madness as a 5 seed before, so it's certainly not far fetched at all. Like, you know, obviously a lot of people love the Braves, then they all say, "Oh, we're gonna win the title," but there is some truth to that, that they can win the title. So,
yeah, my biggest thing is that I've heard a lot of students coming around saying like, "Oh, we're gonna play Missouri State in the championship." I think we need to take things one game at a time. You know. The month of March, it's all about surviving and advancing. So, for now, like we're discussing, let's focus on booting Loyola out of the conference forever. And I think a big piece to that will be defense. Both Bradley and Loyola, they are in the top three in fewest points allowed per game in the Valley. So I think that'll be huge. Obviously, Bradley has nobody on the first team all defense, which is kind of upsetting. But Loyola has two players in Williamson and Uguak. That's how you pronounce it?
Uguak, yes, Uguak. Yes. I didn't know the proper pronunciation until this year, but when I went to Gentile Arena, I heard that the proper pronunciation is Ahir Uguak. I thought, the Uguak part wasn't as hard for me, you know, but it was, learning that it was Ahir instead of a hair or however else you would pronounce it. Yes, Ahir Uguak.
Yes.
One of the seven seniors.
Nonetheless, he's a hound on the defensive end, so.
Definitely.
I think Bradley needs to combat that. They need to try to find the holes in their defense. And like we discussed earlier, it's a collective effort from everyone. I was doing some thinking, and I found an X factor for Bradley.
Okay.
That X factor, I think, is freshman Connor Hickman. And
that's exactly what I wrote in my preview. Connor Hickman is the X factor.
I think anytime Connor Hickman scores over 10 points, Bradley has a very good shot at winning any game they're in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And Hickman, he's averaged 14.5 the last two games, scored 15 against Missouri State, 14 against Valpo. But, you know, Hickman started off the year strong, kind of went into a little bit of a lull, you know, as conference play went on, which, I mean, it's obviously tough for any freshman to come in, especially a freshman who starts in the MVC, to come in right away and, you know, just, you know, make the impact, you know, like, for example, that Tucker DeVries has. I mean, he is, you know, by far and away the best freshman in the Valley. But Connor Hickman, though, really came on strong the last two games. And even though they lost against Missouri State, when he does produce, Bradley is a different team. Although it's interesting to mention, though, the last time that they played each other here at Carver, Hickman was held to a goose egg in the scoring column. They still won. But, again, you can't expect that you're going to be able to get into Saturday with that happening again. And I think Hickman is going to be a huge part of, you know, the other guys to step up, you know, also with Jason Kent being, you know, he had that little hand injury as well. Hasn't looked quite himself. You know, I'm not saying that he can't have a breakout game down in St. Louis or on Friday, but Hickman is going to be a huge, huge factor on Friday, I believe.
And something every Bradley fan knows, they know we're a fresh team in March. They know Coach Wardle, he likes to keep his guys fresh and not wear them out when it comes to the Missouri Valley Tournament. And I was listening to the Zoom call with the Missouri Valley coaches, mm-hmm. and Valentine knows that just as well. So
yep.
Valentine was talking about how they're playing a very well-prepared team. They're going to bring energy. They're going to all be very well-rested. So it'll be interesting to see if Loyola combats that and brings their own energy at the same time.
Exactly. And, you know, I think that's something that favors Bradley is, I remember Brian Wardle told me, told everybody in the press conference after a recent game, I forgot exactly which game it was, but he says that he likes where the rotations are at right now because nobody is averaging over 30 minutes a game. If you make it to Sunday, you're playing three games back to back to back. And, you know, even playing two games in 3 days is pretty exhausting. So, and playing three at the same time is even worse. So, you know, I mean, Bradley having, you know, they can get creative and, you know, they can bring in guys like Boya or they can, like, you know, bring in Mikey Howell and Vile off the bench as well. Zeke Montgomery is, you know, he shot the ball really well against Valpo in some limited action. So I think, like, you know, Bradley's depth will certainly, you know, be in their favor if they can get past Friday as well. And Loyola, they also have depth as well. I mean, like, they don't have certainly, like, star power, I would say. They only have one player that averages over 10.5 a game. That's Lucas Williamson. But they also have other guys that can hurt you, including Braden Norris, Ahir Ugwuok. You know, they also have Chris Knight, who played very well in their game at Gentile Arena. And also they get Marquise Kennedy back, who missed 8 straight games. He averages, you know, a handful a game, a little bit more than that. But, you know, he's also played at Arch Madness before. And, you know, Loyola, they're definitely a little bit of a better team when Kennedy is back. They were 5-3 without Kennedy. And two of those wins were pretty sloppy. They won by 2 against Valpo in OT, I believe. And then won by 8 at ISU. So, interesting to see. I think the 4-5 game, I don't see any scenario where you don't think that that's the best game happening on Friday.
Yeah. Can we talk about how Loyola, it seems like they have much more to lose to this than Bradley does. Because coming into the season,
100%.
Bradley projected 6th in the MVC. Mm-hmm. Loyola obviously always projected towards the top. And they're here as a 4 seed. This is their last chance to go out of the MVC with, you know, their name at the top. And I think they have much more to lose. So I think that's going to add a lot of stress and pressure towards them.
That's a good point, Sky. That's a very, very good point as well. And, you know, also one thing that I've noticed, I mean, obviously I was not at Arch Madness last year. Not hardly any fans were. I don't think any were. But, you know, 2 years ago, like, you know, the second time I was at Arch Madness, the first time I was at Arch Madness was in my senior year of high school. I was going to a basketball tournament in Springfield, Missouri, and it started on Sunday. And so the weekend before, me and my dad went and saw Bradley and Loyola play in the semifinals on Saturday. That was a great experience. And Bradley beat Loyola 53-51. But 2 years ago, one thing that just really jumped out to me is Bradley's presence of fans at Arch Madness. It almost just turns into Carver Arena South, because just the sea of red is bigger than any other fan section that you see down there, both in the Enterprise Center and in Ballpark Village at that fan hangout as well. So I know the Bradley fans are going to be there. They're going to be loud. Loyola, they don't travel quite as well. At least 2 years ago, they did. And I didn't see a lot of scarves there. They had, you know, maybe about a section, maybe section and a half, you know, of fans, but really not a huge fan contingent traveling down from Chicago as well. So I think that, you know, if Bradley can get their fans out, get them going and, you know, stuff like that, that could just really almost make it sort of a home game for Bradley. So that's something to definitely watch out for. But one thing I kind of want to talk about is just Arch Madness as a whole. You know, your predictions for, you know, what could happen, you know, stuff to watch out for, and, you know, who you think we're going to see in the big game on Sunday.
Okay, so let's start off with Illinois State versus Indiana State. I think Indiana State will take that. I think it'll be a pretty easy game. They are the 9 seed. Illinois State is the 8 seed, but I'm not very high on Illinois State, you know, as most Bradley fans are not very high on Illinois State. So I'm predicting they're going to win that game, and then obviously Valparaiso, they're going to beat Evansville. Do you have the same predictions on that?
I would say Valpo beats Evansville, although I would love to see Evansville win. I mean, I love chaos, but I think, like, you know, Evansville, they have a chance against Valpo. I'm not completely ruling it out, but I would say that Valpo, a little bit more deep than Evansville, and Evansville's offense just really struggling as of late, although they did play well in their season finale against Missouri State. And I agree with you there. Indiana State, I think Illinois State will make it a game. I know they'll be in it until the last couple of minutes. I think Indiana State will pull away, though. I have the same Thursday predictions as well.
All right, so let's move on. I'm going to say it's Northern Iowa versus Indiana State. Northern Iowa, the number one seed. I'm going to take them in that.
Mm-hmm.
That shouldn't be much of a question. But I would love to see Indiana State step up.
Oh, I would, too.
Things easier for Bradley, that side of the bracket. But then we have, obviously, the big Loyola versus Bradley game.
Going 50-50. And, like, you know, obviously I don't want to come off as too biased. So, you know, kind of like how they do at College Game Day, Kirk Herbstreit, you know, he doesn't make the picks for the game they're covering. He gives them the keys to the game. So we won't pick the Bradley games, so to say. But, you know, I mean, I'm right with you there. I think that one is almost a coin flip, to be honest, for the 4-5 between Loyola and Bradley. So
So then we got a number two seed on the other side of the bracket, Missouri State. They're facing the winner of Valpo and Evansville. So Missouri State's hot. They got two all first teamers. So got to pick them. And then last we got Drake and Southern Illinois. This could honestly go either way. It's the three versus six seed. What do you think about that one?
Yeah. So with Southern and Drake, I would say that would probably be the best, you know, chance for a lower seed, other than the Bradley-Loyola game, where Bradley's the 5, Loyola is the 4. I think that's the best, you know, chance for, you know, a little bit of a bigger upset. You know, I wouldn't consider a 4 or 5 an upset, you know. So I would say that, you know, I think that's the most realistic one is Southern Illinois beating Drake. Southern, they have great defense. They're, I believe, that one of the top defensive teams in the Valley. You know, and, you know, Marcus Damask missed all of last year, so he's back at Arch Madness now, and you know, Lance Jones is a microwave. He can heat up really, really quick, and he can definitely burn Drake if they're not careful. So, yeah, I mean, you know, I think Southern, you know, I feel bad for not picking an upset, so I'm going to go right with you. I'm going to pick Southern to beat Drake, and I'm also with you on Missouri State over Valpo, because I don't think that Valpo can beat one of the top five teams in the conference. They can beat up on the rest of the conference, but against the top five, I don't see that happening, so...
So then we're heading to the semifinals. We got Northern Iowa versus the winner of Loyola versus Bradley. And I don't care. Well, I mean, obviously I do care, but Loyola versus Bradley, one of them will beat you and I. I think they're pretty close in terms of skill. Obviously, you and I's heating up at the right time. They're not the same team that Bradley beat in the...
No, BC definitely over. Not. Definitely not.
But I think they have a great shot. I think... Obviously, Loyola has a lot to prove, and that number one seed, I think that might get to Northern Iowa's head a little bit.
Definitely, yeah. And one thing, a quick point I want to make is something that Brian Wardle said in the coach's call on Monday is that, you know, like, you know, Bradley's identity is obviously defense. Everybody knows that. And, you know, the reason for that being is defense travels, and defense comes through and wins you games in March when your legs get tired. You and I... They're a great offensive team. Don't get me wrong. They have, you know, Bowen Bourne, A.J. Green, Noah Carter. They can all light up the score sheet as well. But, you know, like Northern Iowa, they're not a great defensive team. And if you rely too much on your offense, especially in March and Arch Madness, I think, you know, that could lead to, you know, you being upset. And I think the same thing is going to happen. I think the winner of Loyola probably makes it to Sunday.
Yeah, and... Wardle also touched on, this is not your traditional league. The NBC, the top five teams are stacked. He said that anybody in the top five can win this tournament. So it's not very far-fetched for Bradley or Loyola to beat the number one seed.
No, not at all. No, I mean, the margin between the one seed and the five seed was three games. And you look at, you know, Bradley, the five seed, how many close games they lost. I mean, they were a buzzer beater away from, I guess, Missouri State from being... you know, 12-6, and, you know, they blew a couple leads at, you know, at Loyola ISU. They were really close against Indiana State. I feel like a broken record because of how many times we've talked about this, especially here on the podcast. But, I mean, you can make the case that Bradley could easily be 14-4, maybe even 15-3 in the conference as well. So we'll take a quick break, come back with some more analysis. You've been listening to The Scouting Report.
This presentation is powered by the Bradley Scout Sports. All Braves, all the time.
Thanks for sticking with us here on the Scouting Report, the official sports podcast of the Bradley Scout. Jonathan Michael here, along with Sky Gillespie this week, and hopefully you guys have been enjoying our analysis and just talking about Arch Madness coming up this weekend, the best weekend of the year. Sky, today marked the first day where we're in afternoon college tournaments. I mean, you're sitting there in class and you're watching. I mean, we were talking about in class this morning at 11 a.m. We were saying that we're missing North Carolina A&T against Radford. You know, we're sitting there in class and these guys are, you know, play with their college basketball careers on the line. So March just means more. It's the best time of the year. And boy, I could just talk about basketball all day long. But, you know, kind of going back, we were just finishing up talking about our predictions for the bracket. And, you know, we got through most of it. You know, we said that the winner of Loyola Bradley is going to make it to Sunday, which I think is not far-fetched at all. I would even say that it's likely, to be honest with you. But kind of getting to the bottom half of the bracket, as some would say, is a little bit more of a cakewalk, I guess, at least for Bradley and Loyola. But who do you have between Southern Illinois and Missouri State on Saturday?
You know, cakewalk indeed. I do have Missouri State heading to Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it'll be much of a game.
Missouri
State, they're incredibly good, and they honestly do deserve to make it to Sunday, even if they do have an easier bracket than some other teams. But I do expect them to play Sunday, March 6th.
Yeah, certainly, and I think you can make the case that, at least on paper, you know, that Missouri State is, you know, one of the better teams. If I mean, probably the, I would say this might be called a hot take by some, but I think Missouri State's the best team in the Valley. I mean, obviously it's easy for me to say that because they've beaten Bradley twice. They're the only school in the top five of the Valley to do that, because Bradley's beaten Loyola, they've beaten UNI, they beat Drake twice, so... I mean, Missouri State, at least for Bradley, that's not who I would want to see on Sunday, but I certainly think that they can get there. I mean, the duo of Prim and Mosley is just, I mean, as best as, you know, I mean, you know, Prim and Mosley and Mass and Roberts, you know, those are two of the best guard big combos in the MVC. And, you know, you also add guys like Jalen Minette in there as well. And, you know, Jamonte Black, you know, he's really improved since, like, you know, the last year or two. But I would agree that Missouri State, I think, will be seen Sunday as well. And, you know, for me, the winner to Missouri State and the winner of Loyola Bradley, it's tough. I think if they play Loyola, I would say Missouri State wins. If they play Bradley, I think Bradley wins, because it's hard to beat a team three times. And Bradley was, you know, pretty close to beating them here at Carver Arena. I mean, if Mosley doesn't hit that crazy step back, Bradley's walking out of there with a win. So, I think that Bradley can do it against Missouri State for sure. So,
you know, here's where I come in. I think if Loyola is in the championship, I think they will beat Missouri State.
Okay.
I honestly think they match up better against them than Bradley does.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Oh, it's tough because I want to be biased and say Bradley all the way, but I don't know. I've turned off one game from Bradley this season, and it was when Bradley played against Missouri State at Missouri State.
Mm-hmm.
I turned off that game. I don't even.
They made a run at the end, though. It was a good run, but yeah, they dug themselves way too deep of a hole.
That was the one game I turned off, and just the fact that you didn't have one guy that can just put the team on his back and literally just kick you out of the tournament, and mm-hmm. Isaiah Mosley, like, that's something that is special, and you don't really see that in the Missouri Valley.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I mean, I would love to see the matchup of Mosley against Williamson. Williamson, you know, obviously a great defender, back-to-back MVC Defensive Player of the Year now. His second one just being announced earlier this week, and then Mosley, obviously, who's just been on a tear. He, you know, kind of looked human for a couple games, and then just, you know, erupted against Bradley. They had no idea of how to stop him. You know, so I think, you know, that's going to be key. Like, you know, tired legs, are you going to defend against Mosley? That's a big question mark. But, you know, I think that, you know, I mean, Bradley can pull it out. Anybody can pull it out, and that's just the beauty of Arch Madness. So we could talk about Arch Madness for, you know, probably a couple more hours, folks, but we'll keep things moving on here. Talking a couple other Bradley sports going on as well. Sky, you're writing the article for the baseball recap this coming week. How'd they do?
Well, they traveled down to Nashville in the Music City Challenge, and they faced Pittsburgh, a Power 5 school, and they split the series. They also played Lipscomb, and that's something we don't really need to discuss as much. they lost 14-0 that game. On Friday,
mm-hmm.
And most of that was, I believe we had 14 walked batters.
Yeah.
And you're not going to win a game that way.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you do, it's very, very tough. And, you know, I mean, the pitching for the Braves is obviously somewhat a question mark. We talked about that last week as well. But one thing I want to talk about is Bradley's pitcher, I believe is a freshman. I'm going to double check on it, but Jacob Kistian pitched in their win against Pitt on Saturday. Braves won that one 3-2. And Kistian, the freshman, 7 innings pitched, 5 hits, 1 earned run, 2 walks, 3 strikeouts. That is a hell of a line from the freshman. And, Bradley, I believe that, I look at the roster right now, and I believe that arguably their ace, Dalton Maul, is going to be out for the year because I see that he's a red shirt. So, and he was going to be their ace coming into the season. So that's a big, big hole for this young Braves pitching staff. And Jacob Kistian really, really showing that he can get it done and, fill that hole that Dalton Maul and, a couple other injured Braves pitchers have left. So,
yeah, and I did have the pleasure of talking with Kistian after the win. He actually allowed a run in the first inning in his 7 innings of 1-run ball. So he adjusted really well.
Mm-hmm.
He was getting a lot of soft contact all game, and the defense was making great plays. He had at least 2 to 3 big double plays,
mm-hmm.
and everyone stepped up. And the big thing compared to this weekend for Bradley is opening weekend. Bradley, we had 35 combined runs in opening weekend. This weekend down in Nashville, we only scored 6 runs.
That's a big difference.
So that's an eye-opener. And I talked to some of the guys, and I talked to Coach about how that number affected their mindset. And they're still competing. Nothing's really changed. Obviously, when you play a Power 5 school in Pittsburgh and split it, you're happy with that. But seeing that run difference is kind of alarming because they went from the top of the MVC in runs scored
mm-hmm.
to now – obviously not at the top, so.
Yeah, for sure. But, I would say one thing that I noticed this week is at third base, obviously Brendan Dougherty left a big hole last year, but Jack Lincoln, at least in the Braves' 4th, he lost to Pitt. He knocked his first home run of his college career, went 2 for 3, with the home run, added another RBI later, along with a walk as well. And I'm checking the box scores right now. I believe he also had another pretty good game against Pitt. Obviously he's getting starts as well. So that's good to see. That kind of be one of my, players to keep an eye on, for sure. Obviously the team is obviously led by guys like Connor O'Brien, Ryan Vogel, Jackson Chatterton, and Keaton Rice, all of those guys as well. But I got my eye on Jack Lincoln a lot, and I'm excited to see what he can do as well. And this week, the Braves, they'll travel down to Cape Girardeau, Missouri, a little bit further south of St. Louis, and they'll take on Southeast Missouri State, a good team as well that can certainly steal a couple games. And then after that, the Braves, it seems like they have quite a spring break. They head down to Tampa for a 3-game set against South Florida. And then after that, on March 15th, they play Fairfield down in Winter Haven, Florida. All these next games are in Winter Haven. And they play Central Connecticut on that Wednesday, Dartmouth on that Friday, Central Connecticut that Saturday, and Dartmouth on Sunday. So a loaded spring break trip for the Braves down in Florida. I'm sure they'll have their fun down at the beach as well, but excited to see what they can do. A lot of games. 5 games, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And, you're coming off a 3-game set Friday through Sunday before. So it's going to get busy here for Braves baseball. And, I'm obviously excited about basketball. It's my favorite sport. But once it ends, we'll certainly have some Braves baseball to keep the appetite of all Bradley fans satisfied. So any final thoughts for the podcast heading into this weekend, Arch Madness? Anything you got, Sky?
I mean, this is my first time heading to Arch Madness. I'm super excited for that.
Mm-hmm.
This is my first year on campus as a Bradley student, and this will be my last year on campus, most likely. I'm probably doing the Hollywood semester, so this is
very
my
fun.
One chance to go to Arch Madness. So, come on, Braves, let's make it fun.
Yeah, certainly. I'm really, really looking forward to seeing all the Braves fans, all the camaraderie. I love the 2:30 time slot. Me and Larry Larson were talking about this so much, how we love the 2:30 time slot because, the game happens, you finish up your recap, that me and him will probably be writing. Finish up by about 5 or 6. You have the rest of your night. You hang out at Ballpark Village. You go out and explore the town. You're right downtown. A lot of stuff you can do down there as well. The fan hangout is second to none. And then obviously just watch some basketball. So it doesn't get better than that. There's no other way to put it. really looking forward to this weekend. And I mean, if you listen this deep in the podcast, I hope that you'll be down there this weekend as well. And, you know, if you see me or Sky down there, give us a holler. Be happy to talk about anything Braves basketball. Doesn't get much bigger than this, folks. This is March, as John Rossi would say. So with that being said, well, this wraps up this episode of the Scouting Report. We'll hope to talk to you next week. So long.